Finger Guns Comedy.
Everybody, Finger Guns Comedy. Well, we're in a very interesting time in our lives in America, and we're here to bring some Finger Guns Comedy to all the masses, all of our fans. Thank you for tuning in this week, and thank you for everybody who helped donate last week and for our fundraiser, and watch the show from last week. Go ahead and check that out on our Twitch channel. We actually just streamed a documentary, so it was a lot of fun. Not really. It was it was sombering, and we were here to listen to everything.
It was educational and informative.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah. Well, that person that you just heard, that is one of the co-hosts of Finger Gun Comedy. That is Amelia Gonzalez. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. I'm actually really good. A lot better, and also still seeking knowledge. Wanting to know more, wanting to support. So I am in that state.
I'm gonna remove the people that haven't been brought onto the show yet, and to make it more dramatic.
Yes, thank you.
I will say Ed's face. He's just mad. Well, I will say your background. You look very enlightened right now.
Thank you.
Is that a wicker hammock? What is that?
Whatever you want to call it. Yeah. I figured if I'm just going to be doing meetings over webcam and doing a lot of podcast things through the webcam, then I need to have a production. So
also this,
yeah. So it's nice. It's a very
That's
nice
awesome.
Aesthetic to have in quarantine.
Chef's kiss.
Chef's kiss.
You look great. You look great. Speaking of chef's kiss, we're going to add one of my favorite cooks on the Freaking Guns Comedy Channel, Edward Rosales. I just said that about the cook thing just to make Steve mad. Hey, what's up, Eddie, baby? How you doing, man?
Chilling. Changing my name again to Edward James, just to inform all the fans.
Keep them
guessing. Not that I ever changed it back to Edward Rosales, but just to keep all the fans up to date on however many times you come with the wrong name, madam.
Okay.
I'm glad to know that as much as the world changes, something stay the same.
Yeah, I mean, I'm your rock.
You know?
If you just think of it like I am your rock. I am also the rock. That's what I would describe myself as.
Yeah.
And then
you are the rock.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You are the rock. The rock. I am Kevin Hart.
that is the dynamic we have.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. You're the funny one, and I'm like the guy that smashes stuff.
And you're the people's champ.
I'm the people's champ. Thank you. Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much for saying. Well, speaking of people's champ, we have a real anti-hero coming up. I'm going to introduce right here. Mr. Steve Sotelo. How are you doing, buddy? Bring in a little tiny cup. How are you doing, bud?
You guys have been saying a solid 2 minutes worth of I hate Steve in passive aggressiveness. And so I'm going to keep my silence.
You know, to be fair, Steve, it was mostly just me. So don't be too upset by any of that. Oh, look at that. It's my cat. Hi, cat. You guys, for the podcast listeners, you guys got to be watching the live feed just to get a little do some birdie watching. Steve, what are you drinking right there?
I'm drinking a maple soju.
Oh, that's nice. What kind of drink is that?
It's a Japanese, Japanese kind of, or Korean sake, basically.
Mm.
This one specifically in Korea. It's they do it in Bohei Brewery.
Let's all just nod and
Seoul,
say
Korea.
Yeah, so good. Like, I didn't just hear every other syllable because your internet is shit. Steve, I thought you were moving. You moved over to your phone before the show. No,
I didn't have issues as well.
Ah, that's goddamn it. Okay, all right. Well, it wasn't that bad.
Pleasure, everyone. It was a pleasure.
don't leave, Steve. Don't leave. Steve, don't leave. Don't come back if you leave. I want you on the show. You have a great segment coming up that we're going to do. So speaking of that, I'm Adam Macias, if anybody didn't know. Thank you so much for tuning in and joining us. All right, so we're going to do something a little bit different today. Things are, you know, the world is crazy right now. It's also, there's a lot of beautiful things happening, a lot of powerful things happening today. And instead of doing bits and characters, and I know I usually always say this, that we don't do characters or bits, but I'm going to tell you something right now. I was lying before, guys. Every moment up to this point, we were doing bits and we were lying. You know, this show was a comedy show. I couldn't fool you guys anymore. It was just Amelia, Edward, I don't know how you feel about me exposing the truth here, but it feels good personally. I get to alleviate some of the stress. But we're going to do something different. Steve, can I bring you back in? Go ahead and do it. Oh, yeah.
You add yourself whenever you can. You can try, Pilgrim.
Oh, yes. Sipping that tea. But yeah, we're going to do something a little bit different today. Soju. We're going to talk about some current events today. You're just going to talk about you know, what's going on around the world. A lot of powerful things are happening right now, and we kind of want to just like stay current and just open a dialogue about stuff. So, first off, what's going on in local news? What's going on with news on your guys' neck of the woods? What's going on in your lives? Ed, you said you watched a anime recently.
Oh yeah, so me and Amelia have been keeping each other up to date with what she's watching, and then she'd been on this show called Fruit Basket that she's been wanting me to watch, and then I finally decided to watch it. And it's a very cute show. It's a very cute show. And then we talk about, after every time we talk about a show, she likes to tell me who I am in the show.
I do.
Like which character I am.
It's a toxic trait that I have.
That's always very fun. And then she told me about another show called Beastars on Netflix that I just finished watching. And then once again, after I finished it was just, how'd you like it? This is who you are. And I'm just like, okay. And so it's fun.
Yes, it is. And I picked the characters that embody
Beastars.
Yes.
Okay. What's it about?
Like how I mentioned off pod, it's basically Zootopia in a high school setting where the animals are teenagers and it's a very mature content. So the concept of carnivores and herbivores and how herbivores will always be categorized as like the prey. And then the carnivores are kind of like the superior race, if you will. But they're still trying to live in harmony and coexist without that like tension of, am I still going to get eaten by a carnivore? So these murders that happen are through carnivore, like herbivore interactions, if you will. And it's about this wolf who falls in love with a rabbit. And it's just, you expect it, obviously, because it's, you know, you see it in the first episode. But it's just interesting of that development of like, do I want to eat her or do I want her? And it's just, it's great. If you take out this concept of animals, it's wonderful.
It's like Twilight. Yeah,
like a little Twilight. Not.
All right. Well, I do have a trailer of it. If you guys want to watch it real quick, so
Twilight.
Of Beastars, where we can actually watch this. What happens if I go to full screen? Oh, I see.
Cool. It looks pretty good.
Yeah. All right. So let's just take a little look. Let me know. Can you guys hear the audio here? Let's see.
Yes.
That was the moment I discovered the small rabbit in my instincts.
Why don't you take responsibility for your own strength?
What a joke.
I'm just so frustrated at myself.
Carnivores are all the same in nature. I'm tired of running.
You should just take me. I don't care anymore.
Whoa. Interessante. Interessante.
I didn't ask you this, Amelia, and I forgot to, so now I will. When you watched the show, did you watch it in English or did you watch it in Japanese with English subtitles?
I do watch it in English because I do watch my shows.
Interesting.
I do watch my shows while I'm multitasking. So I'll be watching V-Stars mm-hmm. while I'm like doing my makeup or while I'm washing dishes or cooking. That's how I like to watch my different shows.
Okay. It's interesting. Huh. It's interesting because I like these Japanese, these animation shows, I only like watching them in Japanese and I'll read the subtitles. And sometimes it feels like, I don't know if you guys have ever experienced this, like watching a foreign film or any foreign content with subtitles, but sometimes it feels like as I'm reading it, it feels like I've heard it in English. Oh, interesting. I don't know if that makes sense to you guys.
Yeah, I get that.
And maybe it's just because I watched a lot of it, so certain words I can pick up on and certain things just sort of translate.
Do you feel like you've learned certain like terminology as you've like watched more of those shows?
Yeah, I think of like whenever they eat, they usually say thank you for the meal, you know?
Okay.
Hello and goodbye. I believe like thank you for the meal is like itadakimasu.
Oh, okay.
And then like usually when someone answers a phone, they go like moshi moshi.
Yeah. Okay, I've heard that, yeah.
But yeah, it's like interesting because, I mean, listen, I know we're finger guns, so I don't know if this is a hot take, but I truly feel like Japanese voiceovers are leagues ahead of English, like voiceover artists.
Interesting.
It just seems like there's so much more emotion, like captured and nuance captured, and like in these like Japanese voiceover artists.
Interesting.
Than it is like, especially when you compare and contrast like a Japanese animated show compared to like an English dubbed version of it. It just seems so much more interesting and nuanced in its original language. And I don't know why that is, because the script, I mean, obviously there are some translation issues, you know, word for word.
Yeah.
But for the most part, a script is a script. And if you're talented enough, or if you have a good enough director, I mean, so many other things, but if you do everything right, it should give you the same sort of emotion as the original, you know?
Oh.
If that's what you're going for as like a studio or as a director and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, I feel like there's a lot of nuance in a lot of it, and what I appreciate what happens whenever I watch like an anime and it's like American voiceover, if you put the subtitles on, the subtitles are always different translations of what the words that are actually saying. So it just tells me like the translations, there's always something that gets lost because of like having to fit the mouth movements and stuff like that. But, mm-hmm. You know, I think, let's check in on the anime watch here in a second, but why don't we move on to some current affairs stuff? So obviously this last week is, pretty crazy for what's going on in the Black Lives Matter movement and stuff. We had a lot of great things that happened on Wednesday. It was a pretty big deal. They voted in LA to cut some funding on the police, I believe $150 million. And Eric Garcetti, our mayor, offered to, he said some like ridiculous amount, like $250, but that was not just from police. That was from various other platforms and stuff. So it was a pretty, chaotic kind of mess that was going on there. How are you guys doing? What's going on in all of your lives regarding all of this? So we're all LA natives. Are you guys seeing any effects of what's going on with the protests or anything?
I'm kind of seeing more true colors in my family circle. I'm seeing a lot of like being aware that I have cousins and aunts that work in the sheriff's department, and being aware that they feel so, I guess like they feel an obligation to side with the police stance and all these things. And, you know, I've had like really serious talks with my sister, because she's actually more on the stance of social work of this whole movement, and how we both kind of agreed that this new structure in the police force and any type of like the police department needs to have different departments to handle very specific certain situations. So like the more we learn and the more we are like accepting to understand like why police officers use these types of tactics and why they, you know, do these certain things, we're understanding that perspective is what I like to say. I'm understanding right. different perspectives. And I feel that is how we genuinely should be making an opinion on all these things. So when I have my family members like post like memes about what it means to actually defund the police, it's like you're not choosing to accept the perspective of like the family that now has to bury their family member because they died.
I feel like that's been a lot of this week, at least for me, is like having to deal with family members or dealing with people that I like see on social media and just being like, well, I'm going to fucking call you out on this because it's just like your phrasing on what's being said right now is bullshit.
Yeah.
I had somebody, you know, really close to me in my family post something about they posted a video of oh, Steve, are you still there? You good, bud? Oh, I think he's frozen.
I think he's catching up.
Yeah, he's catching up. Okay, well, as he's catching up, I had somebody, they posted a video or they posted a link to something that was like the San Mateo Police Department or some shit like that or foundation. And it had this list of like all these like things that have happened to police officers since the protests has happened and stuff. And granted, I will say like any violence in this moment is unacceptable. No violence like needs to happen. But we have to remember where this protest came from. It came from police violence, yeah? Like, yeah. We can all agree that that's where this came from. Well, this person posted something to quote a phrase, it said, while I do not believe that career criminal George Floyd did not deserve to die the way that he did, what's happening to our police officers is unacceptable. And it's like everything about what you just said exactly. Thank you, Sticky Feathers. Boo, exactly. Boo. Thank you for commenting. Exactly. Sticky Feathers. It discredits the victim.
Yeah,
it also like discredits the movement of what's actually happening to all that. And it's not even saying it's saying he died. Not saying he was fucking murdered. He was murdered. This man was murdered, right? And it's just like, well, you know what? Like, this is somebody that's really close to me. Do I call them out on this? You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, what would I do? What would you guys suggest I do in that situation? Steve, you're looking like a shitty MySpace profile picture right now. Are you with us right now? All right, bud. I'm gonna remove you from the stream. Let me know when you're good. God damn, he needs to. I don't know why his internet is always so shitty. What do we do in this situation? Yeah, like how do we talk to our family members about this stuff?
I think with the situation with family members in particular is you definitely need to be in a place of like stability. In a sense, like you are neither more on one side than the other. You really do need to be, especially since they're close to you, really need to be in a place of love and care. Because when you want to tell them, hey, that's wrong, it obviously comes off very aggressive and very rude. And the way I kind of handled the situation with my family member is I didn't. And I really just kind of, you know, let them have their opinion. And the best way that I can do what I do, which is inform, is really they're looking at my Instagram. They're looking at my Facebook. We're just sharing information. So whether right. they feel compelled to listen to that information, that's when they're going to go.
What do you do? What do you do when they comment on one of your like posts that are like, the police are doing this, this is wrong. And then they comment like, all lives matter or something like that. What would you guys suggest we do there? And anybody listening, please send us a DM, you know, after the fact on Finger Guns. Or, you know, anybody watching right now, go ahead and comment. What would you guys do? What are your suggestions? And if you guys have any problems with your family members, let us know. What are you guys doing to cope with this? Or what has been said to you? I want to hear from all of you watching right now. But, you know, like, if somebody like you comment, like say you post something about like the difference between the Huntington Beach protest for opening up the beach as opposed to a Black Lives Matter protest and seeing the difference of those photos, and mm-hmm. somebody goes like, this is like, you know, well, one had was worried about looting, you know? Like, one had a threat of looting. That's the difference. Like, yeah. What do you say to that person, you know?
I think... Go ahead, Ed.
Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Ed, yeah, we have room for you in a second.
So I think, first to, like, backtrack a bit to, like posting, like, on social media and then having someone else, like, I think we're talking about, like, family members or someone close to us posting, like, for example, like, All Lives Matter, right? I mean, no one's the same. So it's going to be either hard or it's going to be easy. Like, that's just the way it is. There's no blanket statement to say that it's easy to do something or it's hard because everyone is different. And I think for me personally, there's like two ways I think just go about it. Because one, ignoring it isn't an option. That's not something that would be beneficial to the situation. So you either delete their comment from your post, or you reply back and you say something that tackles the issue of why they said it. So in this scenario, it was All Lives Matter. So you reply something back like, that's not what we're talking about. Because whenever someone does say All Lives Matter to like contrast Black Lives Matter, like that's not what was not what we're talking about. You know?
Yeah.
Like I saw a very funny video the day about Chris D'Elia, and he was on his podcast and he was talking about the same exact thing where he goes, if someone says All Lives Matter after Black Lives Matter, then I want to say I like bacon because it doesn't pertain to what was just said. You know?
Well, it's regarding the All Lives Matter and Black Lives Matter thing. There's so many great things. Like, I think when Black Lives Matter came, like, kind of like was established, and Steve, if you have control to add yourself in, go ahead and add yourself in. But if all like when that first established and All Lives Matter came out, and it's just like, wait, how do we even like the social or the cognitive dissonance of hearing that? It's like, what? That's not even what we're talking about. Like, I might as well say I like bacon. Like, it literally doesn't mean anything, right? But I think what we've learned is like a great way to like communicate this argument of like, there's so many great examples online of like, well, if somebody says this to you, you can say it this way or whatever. And I think one of the great ones is like, okay, just because I want to save the rainforest doesn't mean I think all other forests are shit. Or I don't think all the other forests don't matter. I believe all forests are great. But I feel like the rainforest right now really needs our attention. And that's why I'm saying save the rainforest. If other forests were also in danger in the same way that rainforests were, then I would also say that those forests need to be saved as well. And that's the same argument here. Like, yes, Black Lives Matter. I'm saying that because I don't think enough people realize that. Yes, all lives matter. Like, you know, like people commenting like all lives matter or no lives matter. Like, well, that is so dramatic and fucking emo. Like, shut up.
Yeah. Shut,
you know what I mean? Like, shut up. Like, why?
Yeah.
No. Like, no lives. No one's saying no lives matter. No one's saying that. You're the you're the one that brought that part in, you know?
It sounds like an insecure, like, middle child. I'm sorry if it gets a little too close to home or anything like that. Sorry if I offended anyone out there. But
comment below. At Amelia if you get offended by this. But I mean,
it's like mom loves me more than you, or dad pays more attention to me because I play soccer and you just write poems. You know, it's truly
like, where is this insecurity coming from, guys?
Yeah.
Like, that's a really great, like, I think you really hit something there, Amelia. Like, I feel like if them commenting like immediately like responsive, like all lives matter, like, okay, whoa, like, where is this coming from, man? Like,
I'm saying
the words Black Lives Matter, there's nothing about any other race, there's nothing that says only this race, there's where in this sentence are you jumping to this crazy conclusion that we're saying that nothing else matters? Like, what is going on there? Steve, Oh, go ahead, Ed. Sorry.
I think a lot of it, and then I think it's kind of a simple point. The issue of Black Lives Matters, the reason is because the country has for so long treated or has been treating people like they don't.
Yeah.
You know, right. The reason people are saying Black Lives Matters is because the country is continually shown and given proof that they believe that they don't.
Yeah.
Right.
So we wouldn't be saying something if for no reason whatsoever. Like hundreds of years of proof that's continued to this day, and then it just gets so like clogged up in just misinformation and miscommunication. Like, for example, talking about current events or current topics, like a little while ago, I think within the last week, Drew Brees, quarterback for the New Orleans Saints, did like a little interview where I think they asked him about kneeling for the anthem. And the issue came up once again where he responded in a way that it was like, I don't respect anyone that kneels for the flag because that's a detriment or something along the lines of it insulting the country.
Right.
When it's been constantly stated that the reason that they're doing that is not because they don't respect the country. It's because the issue of Black Lives Matters. That was the initial point of kneeling for the anthem. To break it down to a very simple, minuscule point, obviously, there's a lot more of police aggression and many, many other things that Colin Kaepernick started. But that was at the crux of it all, you know?
Yeah.
And then again, like he's saying this. And I mean, I personally think that Drew Brees is a good guy. He's been in New Orleans for a while and he's become sort of a pillar for the community through Hurricane Katrina, through all of that devastating stuff that they've been through. And he's been pledging money and being supportive. And being in the community as opposed to just maybe like a regular celebrity or maybe not a celebrity that doesn't even really want to, you know, acclimate to the community. Right. But he said those things, and then many of his teammates, many of his black teammates who are bona fide stars, came out and openly disagreed with him. And they said, like, we don't agree with this guy. I can't believe you just said that. Like, I can't believe you just said that, Drew, considering how close we are.
Yeah.
And then many of them took a moment and said, what you said isn't right. And I'm going to express it on social media, but I'm also going to do my part behind the scenes to talk to him personally and to explain and to try to have a communication where you said what you said, but here's why I think it's wrong. Here's why it's wrong, why you're wrong in this statement. Drew Brees came out and he apologized for his remarks because he understood that what he said wasn't what he was trying to convey. And sometimes that happens.
Why don't we? Hey, Steve, thanks for joining us.
Did you add me on?
I did. I just added you. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we're going to talk. Why don't we go ahead and do that? Because that's actually a really big thing that happened in the news. I'm going to cut to this video here. Let's see what's going on. Here we go. Commissioner admitting he should have listened to players. All right. So let's see. Let me know if this audio carries over.
It has been a difficult time for our country, in particular, black people in our country. First, my condolences to the families of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and all the families who have endured police brutality. We, the National Football League, condemn racism and the systematic oppression of black people.
Wow.
We, the National Football League, admit we were wrong for not listening to NFL players earlier and encourage all to speak out and peacefully protest. We, the National Football League, believe Black Lives Matter.
You know, I'm going to go ahead and pause it right here. It seems like a overly prepared statement for something that it seems so fucking obvious. You know what I'm saying? Like, the fact that this dude, I mean, I get it. This is a multi-million, like, billion-dollar corporation, and the words have to be precise. But if you watch his hands and watch his phrasing, it's like, it's coming off as, you know, I don't know. It's not ideal, the way he's doing this. But listen, it's like, Roger Goodell's fucking duh, guys.
Yeah, he's a fucking schmuck. Like, he's a fucking schmuck. Like, the NFL blackballed Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
And it was so obvious from the jump that they were doing it. And they tried to do this political media grab or the social media grab, or this public media grab to convey that we're not doing, if someone wants to sign Colin, they can. Yet Yet you get to the point where in the NFL season and you see all these backups who can't hold a candle next to Colin Kaepernick and all these injuries that were ravaging the season. And then Colin Kaepernick remains on the sideline. If you're telling me that Colin Kaepernick isn't talented enough to be a starter in the NFL, okay, that's a topic that can be discussed. If you're saying that he doesn't even deserve a backup spot, like he's not talented enough for that, like get the fuck out of here.
Like, I mean,
get the fuck out. And there's many reasons why he's not in the league, such as maybe he doesn't want to be in a backup role, or maybe he doesn't, or maybe he wants to be paid a certain amount, and those are all topics that you know that are far beyond my scope. But if you're sitting here and saying that like Roger Goodell, that we're sorry for doing something wrong, yeah, no shit, Roger. Of course you're sorry for doing something wrong.
You fucking this should have been said ages ago. So now I don't follow NFL so much. So has anything come out of this, like with Colin? Like, is he? I mean, obviously NFL is, you know, not doing anything right now, but is this lifting the ban on Colin? Like on teams, are people are owners like lining up to fucking sign him on as the next contract? Then this is fucking bullshit. This is fucking bullshit. Then what's the point of this? He should have. You know what he would have done? He should have had fucking Colin on this fucking Zoom chat and apologize to him. And he can't obviously do it to his face, but at least in the fucking Zoom room that he's in, you know, like apologize to him directly and then give this dude a fucking job. And I mean, granted, like who knows if he actually wants it, you know, like, you know, his charity is doing great. I'll link to since we're spending some time on that, I'll link to Colin's, to his charity. Everybody should be donating to that right now. In the comments below, but you know what I'm saying? Like this is fucking bullshit. He should apologize to his fucking face.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, and it goes far beyond the scope of just Roger Goodell. It extends to the owners of the NFL. And I mean, it takes one person who holds so much power, such as an owner for the NFL team, to make a difference, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
But that's what it kind of comes down to. As for Kaepernick, I know they reached a settlement not too like a little while ago, and he got paid an undisclosed amount of money from the NFL. And I know he had a sort of like this mock or this real tryout that turned into like a pseudo publicity thing, which was, I mean, it was weird from the jump. There are details everywhere, but I mean, from the video, it looked like he still has this throwing ability. If he still has his running ability and his mobility, I mean, at the end of his tenure in the NFL, he showed some signs that weren't positive for a starting quarterback.
Oh,
but these are things that you can work on. Like he wasn't as good as he was a couple years prior, like leading the San Francisco 49ers to the Super Bowl, you know, or helping them reach the Super Bowl. Like he wasn't as good as he was during that run. But that doesn't suggest that he couldn't be once again.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this is just one topic of many to discuss, you know?
Hey, what's up, Fingies? It's Adam. No normal ad break this week. In this episode, we talked about Colin Kaepernick's foundation. So I just wanted to talk to you about that and you know, raise some awareness about it. On their website, it says, "Our mission is to advocate the liberation and well-being of Black and Brown communities through education, self-empowerment, mass mobilization, and the creation of new systems that elevate the next generation of change leaders." It's called Know Your Rights camp.com. It's in the description of this podcast episode. You can go ahead and click the link and find out more about it and donate. So if you're feeling like charitable during this time, please consider donating to this organization. I'm sure it'll help out. Their mission sounds great, and I'm sure it'll help out a lot. All right. Well, without further ado, back to the show. For sure, for sure. No, and I appreciate what you saying that, you know, as somebody that's, you know, talked about the sports of everything. Why don't we move over to another sports thing that slightly unrelated to the movement that's happening right now. The UFC had a big pay-per-view fight this week, yeah? And Steve and Ed, you guys watched it, right?
We did. It was hot. It was a hot event.
It was a fun little night. We had pizza.
You had pizza and what, bud? Pizza and wings. That's very cool.
Yeah.
That's classic. Wings. That's a classic pay-per-view moment.
I made the wings. They weren't that good.
Not what I was going to say. I was going to update the people on how Steve bought an air fryer. Of kitchen utensils.
Let me go for them. Because you're selling it. I have in my kitchen the Instant Pot Cuo Nuovo Crisp, which is the Instant Pot with the air fryer attachment on top that you can add to it. So it will sous vide, it will slow cook, it will instant pressure cook, it will bake, dehydrate, fry. I think there's an option for yogurt.
All right, Steve, I'm going to have to cut you off because, your audio is shit. But, and also, I understood most of it. I'm mostly, Steve, don't leave. Listen, Steve, that's great. I'm glad the wings are going good. Stevie, come back, baby.
It's like a Swiss Army knife. You can do a lot of things with just one appliance.
Ace 515. What's up, guys? Thanks for watching. Shout out to go ahead and drop your links for the show there, guys. Steve, why you keep leaving the chat? We want to talk to you. At least I want to see your face.
Internet doesn't work, then you have to let me die.
I'm not going to let you die, baby. I'll never leave you behind. I did want to find out because I had so many questions about this UFC thing that was happening.
Steve,
why don't we what's going on? Kate, he's not in Upland. He's actually about 25 feet away from Ed. So it's very weird. He's like cursed with his internet. What happened with why are they trying to? This is a big thing. What's the commissioner of UFC, owner of UFC? What's his name?
So Dana White.
Dana White. I think, he's been trying to find a venue for a while to do a pay-per-view, right? Mm-hmm. To do an event in this pandemic, yeah?
I mean, you got to give Dana a lot of credit for lack of a better word, for having the balls to try to put on a sporting event with
COVID. He was trying to do it on like an island, right? He was trying to find like a private island and shit.
That's his ultimate goal for right now. So what they've been doing was they started a couple weeks ago, they had a pay-per-view that they did, I believe, in Florida. And it was highlighted. The main event was Tony Ferguson versus Justin Gaethje. And it went well. It went surprisingly well for the first event of, like, for the first big sporting event that had no fans. And it was just essential workers to the company only. And then
So it had no fans. And then from what I remember from hearing about it is that everybody had their own private room, their own private shuttle. There was no locker room. Like they went straight from the hotel to the venue for the fight. And then they they did the fight and then bounced. Right.
And that's what I heard. And then all the workers there, they had their masks on, they had their gloves on. The commentators were separated by 6+ feet of distance. And they had, they were taking the best safety precautions possible to put on the event, which is, if you're going to do it right. And maybe there are some things that they could have done better, but they tried their best for the first time ever in doing something like this. And I think it went tremendously well. And after that, they had been putting on shows, I think, every Saturday, like fight nights in Las Vegas at the UFC. I don't know what they call it, but it's like essentially like a performance center. And they've been setting up. Yeah.
Is that why they opened up the strip again?
No, they opened up the strip just because they wanted to open up the strip. Just to do it.
It would have made sense if they did it for a fight, but okay.
They just wanted to have the, yeah.
So this Saturday that just passed was another UFC pay-per-view. The main event was Amanda Nunes versus Felicia Spencer.
Love Amanda.
And then there were a bunch of other fights on the card. But again, it was done with the utmost of respect and to the COVID as possible, to health, where all the announcers were separated, all the commentators, I mean. And they, I think a couple weeks ago, they even had either a glass or a plastic screen in front of them, in front of the commentators. But yeah, they were doing their best. And I mean, the fight card was tremendous and the fights were tremendous too. Like, there's a lot of action in every single fight. It was very fun to sort of get away from everything without losing yourself.
Okay.
To be distracted, I guess, to be entertained. Sports have been gone for a while, for like forever, it seems. And I mean, I love sports personally, so it was fun to sort of get back in the groove of like having sports in my life again.
Yeah, I know that's a big issue. My stepdad, he's an avid sports follower, and he's been lamenting over the last couple months because he's always been watching his, and even our own president has been this way, is that he's dying to watch new sports and shit like that. And, you know, obviously he should be getting to work regardless of those things. But yeah, I think that's like a big thing for a big sports fan. It's like, they're trying to capitalize on getting that entertainment going on right now. You sent me some videos of the event.
Yeah, I mean, I sent you two videos of two of the five main card fights. I should have sent you another one. I haven't seen these videos yet, but I hope they'll be good.
Yeah, let's check it out. Let's see. I'm going to go ahead and make this full screen for everybody. Here we go.
Here, though, because when you're engaging O'Malley...
All right, who are we watching here?
That's where O'Malley's good. Right whenever he's going in and out.
So,
ladies and gentlemen, we just watched a man get knocked out on his ass off a simple right hook. Watching,
so if you want to pause the video, we were watching the first fight of the main card, which is Sean O'Malley versus Eddie Wineland. Sean O'Malley, the Sugar Show. I mean, he's tremendous. I mean, that's his nickname. He lives up to it.
He's a man with the green shorts. The green shorts and multicolored hair, right? That's O'Malley.
Yes.
O'Malley.
Sean O'Malley. Eddie Wineland is sort of this, I don't want to say journeyman, but he's a very experienced competitor, a very experienced former champion. So he's been around the block a lot. He has sort of this herky jerky movement and he has power. I mean, when he's in there, I mean, that's what he is. That's what he does. But Sean O'Malley, I mean, this dude's talented, dude. This dude's talented.
Yeah, let's watch this one more time. Let's watch this. This is, I don't even think this is a hook. This is just a straight right here. Boom. Boom.
So yeah.
Right? Like,
so angle seems, you can't see the angle, but there's like the subtle movement that he does. And this is, again, I talked about nuance earlier when speaking about Japanese voiceover artists. I'm talking about nuance again. Just small little details where Sean O'Malley, and the angle isn't good here, but with his before he throws that straight right that knocks out Eddie Wineland, and they talked about this in commentary, but he does a subtle feint where he's gonna uppercut
as if he, which or, causes, or yeah to him to like, step out of uppercut. The way. Yeah.
So when he feints that uppercut, Eddie Wineland sort of drops his hands to block it or to avoid damage, and as soon as that feint happens, Sean O'Malley comes and explodes out with that right hand that knocks him out cold.
Yeah, he tries to outstep it, and he essentially steps into the punch here. We can watch his hand tuck underneath this. Watch O'Malley, the guy in the green. He tucks his. See how he tucks his arm right under right here.
It's a small, subtle feint, but it worked, and that's and all it, that you it, need it, sometimes.
It's almost like that. It's like it's literally like the example of this, and then throwing. Of a winding up your arm and then essentially doing that. That's essentially character version of that.
I love everyone that's going to listen to this to hear that.
To go ahead and wind it up like that. You guys got to watch the show. You guys got to watch this. I'm just literally playing the part over here in my small square.
Yeah.
You know what? Okay, well, let's, you know what, before I think we've delayed this long enough. We've had a rather gigantic thing happen in the news this week, which was Minneapolis, the city council members voting to promising or at least initiating a bill to defund the police department. I don't know how you guys heard about this?
Yeah. Huh?
Have you guys heard about this? Have you heard about this news? It's like a little Jay Leno impersonation. Have you heard about this? Have you heard about this? Nope. Okay.
Anyway, heard about it. I haven't heard of that Jay Leno impression yet, though.
Yeah, you've been.
That was a pretty good addition. That was a new addition.
I definitely. Thank you, Sticky Feathers. It was good. All right. Let's. Why don't we go ahead? I have a video from The Hill, and I can't honestly remember if Hill is a reputable news source or not. So we're just going to go ahead and go with it and see what happens.
Oh, I know The Hill.
Right, I think The Hill is okay, right? Let's check it out. We're getting some an ad. I'm just going to go ahead and skip that while we're waiting here. Okay, here we go. Let's see what The Hill has to say.
Minneapolis watching George Floyd's death and the actions of the four police officers that were involved has been a huge wake-up call for so many in Minneapolis to see.
All right, we're watching Lisa Bender. We're watching Lisa Bender, president of Minneapolis City Council, to be on some sort of Zoom interview, and that's who's speaking right now. Actually, did not imagine someone like this to be the president of city council. I mean, no shade at all, really, but she's got a very artistic tattoo on her right sleeve there. Pretty fucking badass. You know what? I will say she kind of looks like what's her name from Broad City. Do you know what I'm talking about? She looks like one of the women from Broad City. It's very, she's very young, probably in her 30s or so. So this is actually very cool that, you know, someone like this is in charge of the city council. So let's listen to what she's got to say. Abby, yes.
Every member of our community safe. And so I think step one for us is to tell the truth. 9 council members from communities all across the city of all different backgrounds standing together to tell the truth and say, this system isn't working for too many of our neighbors for too long. Our reform efforts have failed and we have done many, many attempts at reform and new leadership in the department and many things. And we still see this tragic death. And so I think the wake up of our community is what's driving the city council's announcement yesterday. And now the hard work begins for us to rebuild systems that really work to keep all of our community safe.
Well, I was hoping that this would be more of a kind of like the facts, but yes, Sticky Feathers, power to the people. Yeah, hopefully I was hoping this would be more to the facts of what was going on.
Oh, this again.
Yeah, sorry about that. But you know, essentially, I the headlines that I heard, Amelia, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but the headlines that I heard was essentially that a veto-proof majority in Minneapolis City Council has promised to defund the police department in some way.
I did hear that, and I did hear the keyword promise. So yes. I would still think that there's like that small percentage chance that they're just gonna, oh yeah, let's just take a couple million out of it and just keep doing what we're doing. Yeah. But yeah, I did hear that too. I did see that article.
Let's see. I got a video from Huffington Post. Let's see if this is any better as far as the facts here. I mean, say what you will about Huffington Post, but at least they make a good, quick video. Here we go. Oh, and it's mostly text, so...
a great video.
I'm going to get any quotes here. Let's see if we can get... Nope. Not a good video. So... not going to work for this. Thanks for chiming in there, Steve. Do you have anything you would like to say? You sound pretty good right now.
Black Lives Matter.
Oh, nice of you to say that.
Very nice.
Yeah. That's if I could say three words and they'd be clear, it's that.
It's what?
Black Lives Matter. I just said it.
Accidents happen.
I didn't hear you. What did you say though? I didn't actually hear you say it.
Oh, fuck this, man. Fuck this stream.
I'm just kidding. I heard it. Jesus Christ. No. Jesus. All right, let's see if this is... Maybe we can get a little snippet of what's actually going on here. Let's see. Here we go.
Departments. We are are now asking for major cities to defund their police departments. We are joined now by our editor-in-chief, Andy Serwer. Good morning, Andy. Lots of questions here. Would defunding a police department mean disbanding it? And is that really the end of law and order as we know it?
Well, there's a lot to parse through here, Alexis, and you're right. Protesters and others, lawmakers in some cases, are asking serious questions about the billions of dollars of funding that goes to police forces in major cities across the country, or New York City being a primary example. Mayor de Blasio asking for that funding to be called into question, Minneapolis, Los Angeles as well. And it wouldn't necessarily mean disbanding police forces, although there are some people calling for that as well, Alexis. But if you simply think about all the money that goes to police forces as a percentage of the budget of a city, it's huge. And look at...
I think this might be an older video because I'm pretty sure a lot of the headlines said... Because this is primarily focusing on defunding the police. Mm-hmm. I'm almost... positive I heard something in the news of dismantling the police. So forgive us, listeners, if we're a little incorrect of what we're what we're talking about. Obviously, yes, go comment below if you can find a link for us. Ed, I'm going to add you back in the chat. Looks like you're you got your Bluetooth headphones on because you needed to charge your phone. What's up, baby? How you doing? Oh, hell yeah.
I'm doing great. It's hot as fucking here, but yeah.
Steve,
we're living and learning.
Yeah.
Steve, how's the weather? You're standing. God. We don't even have to try to do comedy. We could just do like the connection bit for the next 2 months, and we'll be fine. We'll just talk about super serious things, and this connection bit will be fine. Steve, how are you doing? Like, we haven't got a chance to talk to you about all of this. What's going on in the news and stuff. Why don't you take this moment to kind of express how you're feeling? Obviously, Black Lives Matter. Thank you for saying that. What else you got, bud? Oh, great. Thank you, Steve, for doing that.
I wanted to give myself the spotlight. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I don't know either. Here you go.
Okay. So, I am outside, and it feels really great. And I'm in a kimono. But what is it all worth if none of this doesn't amount to anything? What we're doing right now is great, and what the situation at hand is good. But I feel like, you know, at least for me, I feel like I could be doing more. I actually went and hung out with my family, and I had an argument with them because of the fact that. I said I wanted to go out to the actual protests, and because they're old school,
Washington demonstration,
they were super mad.
Sparked by the death of George Floyd.
Oh, that's important.
No. Sorry. No, keep going, buddy. I was just queuing up a video.
Oh no! Well,
I want to hear your story,
bud. A video to queue. Yeah, let's go to it.
No,
I'm just gonna be rambling.
No. I want you finish your thought there, babe. Yeah. That sounded. It sounded really important.
It's not. Because I'm privileged, and so...
Well, you're also Hispanic. Let's remember that.
Yeah, but I pull off Italian, white,
Well, I'm going to cut to the video because it does look like your audio is cutting out a little bit. Steve, do me a favor. While we have you, and we're just going to experiment, unplug your headphones real quick. Just go ahead and unplug them.
I've unplugged my headphones.
You sound better.
It's better?
Yeah, it's a little bit better. But why don't we, let's go check out this video real quick.
George Floyd while in Minneapolis police custody.
All right, let's see what we got here.
Again today, people returned to the streets calling for police reforms and racial justice. The crowds, diverse and overwhelmingly peaceful. Jamie Yucas in Minneapolis tonight, where it all began.
Tomorrow marks 2 weeks since George Floyd died at the hands of four Minneapolis police officers. His death has sparked movement in at least 150 American cities, with people fighting against police brutality and racism. crowds returned to American streets again today, following yesterday's mass demonstrations.
Look at that.
Protesting the death of George Floyd.
I will say the pictures of the people protesting this have been very fucking powerful, man. All this
the Hollywood,
I'll probably try to throw that up here in a second. The Hollywood protest this weekend was intense. Like, it was huge. It was a huge protest. It's really magical to see and powerful to see. And hopefully this doesn't go away anytime soon. I mean, essentially, we get what's going on. The police there are, they're trying to disband the police. Or dismantle the police, is at least that's what the word is. So who knows what that means to everybody, but we'll see. In a slightly more personal news, we're coming to the end of the show here. It's been about an hour or so. My wife and I, we finished all of Avatar: The Last Airbender. So, what'd you say, Steve?
Yep.
My wife. We heard that. Somehow I heard that through Ed's microphone. Okay. my wife. Oh, my God. It is so bad. Your computer sucks, dude. I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on over there. He just left his own chat.
That's our Last Airbender.
Yes, Last Airbender. And if anybody cared to know, I am Team Zuko. Oof. I think it was. It's kind of fucking bullshit. She ended up with Aang. I mean, come on, like it was brother. It was friend zone all the way. Zuko, he's hot headed. His girlfriend sucked. She sucked and. Talk about privilege.
No, she didn't.
She sucks.
She doesn't suck.
She sucks. Talk about privilege, ladies and gentlemen. Zuko, May does not rock. What's the opposite of rock? She sands. She's just there and doesn't really do anything for me or the show.
She only cares when it's suitable for her.
Exactly.
That's the
definition of privilege, guys. That's why she sucks. Wrapping it all around here. May's privilege is fuck. Everybody, Black Lives Matter. Zuko for life. Zuko team Zuko for life. Amelia and Edward, we started this conversation today about anime. I would love to hear your expertise thoughts on Avatar before we leave.
Well, if I may be so bold, I used to be Team Aang when I watched the show when I was younger. Because obviously, how are you going to choose a Fire Nation king over the fucking Avatar? Doesn't make sense. Rewatching it as an adult, fully aware my type of guy is the mysterious, hot-headed kind. All Team Zuko all the way. So I understand now. I am aware of this knowledge. I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but we're here. It's a very well-written show, and I'm just so blessed that I'm aware of this show.
It is finger gun.
It is just so good. And sorry for throwing all this audio into the conversation, guys. But we're wrapping up here, I appreciate you saying that. I mean, clearly, I identify with Zuko the most. I have failed probably more than him, and I got a lot of acne scars, so I feel the same way. Technically, they were given to me by my father because my father also had terrible acne. So, take. For that, well, you will. Edward, I think a air fryer going on in the background. Is that what's going on?
No, very close.
What is
very
it?
Very close. It was a sink. it was a sink right next to the air fryer.
Where do you land on the Zuko Aang war that's happening?
Well, first of all, there is no Zuko Aang war. Let me Let me wake you sheeple up. They're on the same fucking team, babes. Okay?
They weren't in the beginning.
If we're talking about Katara and who she chooses to spend the rest of her life with, that's up to her. If you think that she deserves to be with Zuko, hey, I love Danny Zuko too.
Ooh.
But if you think that she deserves to be with Aang,
I love the idea that you think his name is Danny Zuko.
Every Zuko, let me make something very perfectly clear. Every and any Zuko in the history of mankind, their first name is absolutely Danny. It's Prince Danny Zuko. Get it right or get left behind. I also identify more with Prince Zuko, but that doesn't mean that I don't like Aang. I just think.
No, I don't like Aang.
In all seriousness, Danny Zuko's arc over Greece and Avatar is much more compelling than Aang's.
Yeah. I'll give you that.
It's much more relatable to me as the prince of the Fire Nation, who has seemingly been disowned by his father, like I have as well. It relates to me as well.
Exactly. Zuko is he deserves the girl the most as far as the win. He deserves a lot.
I don't like this. Deserves the girl sort of.
He deserves the girl the most.
Edward, she's a trophy. The ideal feminist that we need.
he deserves her the most, and the show owes Zuko a better woman as a trophy. No,
you know how it should have been.
Katara is the trophy. Like, I've said it.
Oh no!
Ooh, I don't think you're ready for it.
Oh, it looks like we're being canceled. We're being canceled right now, ladies and gentlemen. From what I said, I'm so sorry.
I don't think you're ready for this.
Well, that's fine.
I don't think you're ready.
That's a good way to end it. Good way to end it.
Sticky Feather says Katara is water, and that compliments air. So,
that is weird. Yep.
Do you want compliments or do you want something that challenges you? I'm personally talking to my own wife, who is Sticky Feathers. Do I compliment you or do I challenge you? ? Don't comment that in the challenge. Chat.
But you know what? Speaking of water, really quickly, I want to plug something, Adam. I want to plug Bruce Lee's documentary on ESPN, Be Water. I haven't seen it yet, but I know it's stupendous.
So wait, we'll say it again.
I want to, because we're just speaking about water, I want to plug in Bruce Lee's documentary on ESPN, Be Water. Because I haven't seen it yet, but I'm sure it's tremendous. It's Bruce.
Yeah, it's Bruce. Amelia, is there anything you would like to plug before we end the show? Also, everybody go check out Edward James on Edward J. Rosales on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter.
No, well, I don't have a Facebook, but yeah. Instagram,
definitely go check out his Facebook page that I started for him. It's a fan page. Amelia, what do you got to plug?
I think I will finally and formally drop my Twitter handle.
Whoa.
Yeah, because I've been sharing a lot of petitions that still need to be signed. I am a social warrior on Twitter.
Hell yeah. Yes,
it is Angelic Whistle.
Everybody go check out Angelic Whistle.
On Twitter.
It's dope as hell. She's dope as hell. And then, yeah, that is a dope tag. Thank you, Sticky Feathers. All right, anybody that's watching the feed right now, thank you so much, the people watching. Everybody should, our campaign for today's, this episode, is knowyourrightscamp.com. It's Colin Kaepernick's foundation. Go check it out, see what they're about, and donate if you can. If you have, times are tough, but if you have a little bit of cash, instead of sending it to finger guns, send it to Colin Kaepernick, who really did, he deserves so much credit for what's going on right now as far as activism, and he's just a brave person. Everybody needs to support him. He deserves a lot of credit
for being one of the first few people that I can actively think of in the last, in the recent years to start this conversation, to try to start it on such a grand, not even just national, but on a global scale.
He really did.
All the cameras are on him. You know who he is. he's had a lot of success up to that point, and he took a stance that wasn't popular, that wasn't welcomed, in order to shed light on a lot of bad things. So yeah, a lot of kudos to Colin.
Yeah, and so go ahead. That's knowyourrightscamp.com. Go check it out. I'll leave it on this. We are currently looking to amplify voices of people of color. So though a lot of us on the team, the four of us that you saw us listen to today and saw, we do identify as Hispanic, even though, you know, Steve said he, you know, can go off as, he can play off as Italian, and obviously I can play off as super duper white. We want more people of color on our show. So please email us we're looking for artists, activists, comedians, or people just with stories or something to say to be on the show. So email us at fingergunscomedy@gmail.com. We want to amplify your voice. And this show is fluid. You know, one week we could be doing characters, we can be doing improv, we can just do topical news. If you're worried about whether or not you can fit into the show, it doesn't even matter. We want the show to help you. You know, we have this platform. We want to help you. So anybody that's out there watching right now and would like to like perform in some way or, you know, have their voice heard, it's a small amount of following, but we would love to help you or have you on the show. So go ahead and follow us at Go Finger Guns. Send us
go
a DM.
Go follow Steve Sotelo at
Steve_Sotelo. Yeah. yes. But anyways, also, yeah, please email us and send us a DM and just tell us what you're about and we'll have you on the show. So fingergunscomedy@gmail.com. We have a website, fingergunscomedy.com. You can contact us through there. But all right. Well, so that's been the show. Thank you so much for watching. And everybody stay safe out there. And, keep on trucking. Ooh, I gotta work on that outro.
Itadakimasu.
Finger Guns Comedy.
This holiday season, you know what I have on my wish list? Adventure. That's why I got a new Honda during the Happy Honda Days sales event. They have a whole lineup of rugged all-wheel drive SUVs, CRV, Pilot, Passport. But at the end of the day, I drove off in a new HRV with a bunch of safety features. And best of all, I got it on clearance. So don't just sit around knitting an ugly holiday sweater. See your local Honda dealer for Happy Honda Days clearance pricing today.
Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Extra cash? Come on, how amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing when you realize all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2020 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply.